verses 32 through 52. And the theologian Marcus Borg often likens the biblical text to being like binoculars or a telescope, something that allows us to see God just a little bit more closely. So listen to this, wondering, what is God telling us through this story? They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized in the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all, for the Son of Man came not to serve, but not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So they came to Jericho, and as his disciples and the crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're not singing the Alleluia in Lent. I goofed last week, and then I put it in again this week, and I already did the bulletin for next week, and it's there too. It's just another example of our sinful fallen world. We'll do the first verse of Amazing Grace. Can you lead us, Beth?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
So the text which we read this morning juxtaposes two requests that people make of Jesus. James and John, two of his 12 disciples, ask to be at his left and right hand. As a child, I always wondered about that. What was so excited about being at the left hand and the right hand? I kind of envisioned it like a Thanksgiving dinner about which kid got to sit closest to whoever was at the head of the table. And in fact, that is close to what's going on here. Basically, they want to be Jesus' right hand and left hand guys, his sergeants at arms, his henchmen, the guys who get to be the closest to the power, the chief of staff, you know, the ones who can make it happen. They want power. Power in an earthly sort of sense of power. They want to be close to Jesus. They want to be his representatives. What's so interesting is that Jesus allows them to ask, "What is it that you want from me?" he says. And then he kind of cryptically explains that he cannot grant them this request. This, "Can you drink from my cup? Can you be baptized in my baptism?" He ends this section saying that he came not to be served, but to serve. So basically, he's not going to grant any requests to increase your power base. And this story about asking for earthly power is then juxtaposed with the story of Bartimaeus, who asks simply for mercy. And Jesus is able to grant his request and restores his sight, and he can see. It's interesting that both of these requests are from people who have faith. That often we like to think, if we only have faith enough and we ask of God, God will grant our request. Not so. Both of these requests are from folks who have faith, according to the text. But one is a request for earthly power, and one is a request for heavenly mercy. As I was reflecting on this passage, I was reminded of the seventh step from Alcoholics Anonymous, that we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Often in consistory meetings, when there's an issue about whether or not we're going to have enough money for a certain thing, Earl Callowine will look at me and say, "You gotta humbly ask him. You gotta humbly ask." And I go through life hearing his voice, not telling me, not suggesting me, but rather calling me to humbly ask for the things that we need. You gotta humbly ask. There's a flip side to that, which is you might not want to ask. You might not be aware of what you need. And yet we are reminded again and again from Jesus that it is our job, our calling, to humbly ask for the things that we need. To humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings, to humbly ask for God to give us grace and mercy, to humbly ask for God to provide for our journey, to grant us wisdom and courage and grace for our days. What must it have felt like to be Bartimaeus? To be desperate? To be needy? To be at the end of his rope? Or maybe to have just kind of given up? And yet, to be hopeful enough to humbly ask for what he needed, not to humbly ask for earthly power, but rather to humbly ask for God's blessing and mercy in his life. I'm reminded of the Bible verse that talks about seeking first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and it shall be granted to you." Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. It's a calling for us to be willing to be vulnerable with God, to humbly ask for what we need, not to arrogantly or pompously ask for power, but to humbly ask God to be with us. And when we do that, it is granted to us. It is granted to us with love and hope and mercy and joy that our lives are able to be transformed and that we are able to see again, to see and experience God's reign in new ways in our life. And so as we move forward through this season of Lent, I encourage you to humbly ask. Humbly ask for the things that you need God to provide in your life, with the knowledge that they will be provided. Amen.
Amen.